This is Ray Jones, and as I have in prior quarters, I would like to take this opportunity to introduce you to a number of new and exciting SystemZ software announcements that will be made in February of 2011. One key point, this is IBM confidential until the announcement date, so this is for you, but be ready to understand these announcements and share them with your customers as they roll out. Let me start with a couple of comments on marketplace momentum. As you hopefully have seen in the IBM earning announcement, we have seen dramatic growth in capacity and revenue in the fourth quarter. And in fact, the Z Enterprise, which we announced in July of 2010, has had a phenomenal 6 months of momentum. Our customers see it, the press sees it, as you see here, and it is something that we as a team need to continue to emphasize and capitalize on because the mainframe continues to grow substantially. One other point that you may not have seen is that we continue to add new customers. So in 2010, we added 61 brand new first in the enterprise SystemZ clients. That is up substantially over 29. And as we move into 2011, we want to continue to press our advantage and continue to increase the number of new first-in-the-enterprise SystemZ clients. Let me move to the next chart and also share a thought with you on Z Linux. We continue to see a dramatic growth in Z Linux, both in terms of the number of our top 100 SystemZ clients that are using it, the number that have SystemZ IFLs installed, and the total amount of capacity that we're shipping into the marketplace with and dedicated to Z Linux. And one other point, we continue to grow the number of applications that are available for Linux on SystemZ. This is a myth that many of our customers challenge me with. They claim that they can't find applications to run on this platform. We have 3,250 and growing, and I urge you to challenge the customers to tell us which applications they want on Linux and tell me so that we can begin the work with those vendors to move them over. But this is a very large and rapidly growing ecosystem that's fundamental to our overall success as a team. If you move to the next chart, let me just say a word on ZBX. We delivered the first tranche of ZBX function with AIX late in the fourth quarter. We will be delivering more capability in 2011. When I talk with customers, their initial reaction is that, quote unquote, there's nothing new here. This is as simple as plugging a blade environment into a mainframe. And the point that I make to them is that nothing could be further from the truth. This is all about the ability to manage from a central point of control distributed technology from a mainframe, and in doing so, to dramatically reduce IT cost. If you're not familiar with the work that we've done in this area, we're going to assist you later on in this quarter with some additional broadcasts as well as material. But this is all about a highly automated new technology that brings substantial cost reduction to the table. And it is important that we as a team understand that. We're going to continue the drumbeat of bringing out new capability on the ZBX integrated with Z in the first quarter. You may recall that last year we shipped the IBM data SAO box, which improves dramatically up to 80x the speed with which queries can be processed using a Z Enterprise configuration. In February, we'll be announcing IBM WebSphere Data Power Integrated Appliance X150 for Z Enterprise. Fundamentally, this is an integrated solution using a ZBX and a 196, and it has four key value propositions. First, security, enforced by the private network of Z Enterprise. Second, improved support, and by that I mean monitoring of hardware with call home for any expected issue or problem to improve availability. Third, packaging, pre-testing, and upgrade history made available to ease growth. And then last and certainly not least, operational controls. monitoring rolled into the systems Z environment from a single console, consistent change management implemented with the Unified Resource Manager. So for those of you that are looking to introduce the ZBX into your Z enterprise environment, and you are looking for an application or a place to get started, we're about to give you a second offering from IBM in terms of data power that can assist you in this discussion with your customers. And if you move to the next chart on business optimization offerings for Z Enterprise, I want to call to your attention that in December, we announced with the AIM or WebSeer brand four new discrete offerings that integrate Z Enterprise, both Z196 and with ZBX. So these offerings are now available. These are in addition to the Tivoli offerings that we announced in the third quarter. And it is imperative that we as a team understand these, use these integrated PID numbers and part numbers so that we can clothe ZBX with our WebSeer and Tivoli software, and, of course, we get paid to do so. So we now are beginning to expand the menu of IBM content that complements the ZBX and the Z Enterprise configuration, delivers value, and gets us comped. So it's important for you to understand, know this, and be aggressive in helping to sell and clothe the ZBX as part of a Z Enterprise solution. Now let me move into some of the new software announcements that are coming in February. And I'd like to start with ZOS Release 13. As we have seen with prior releases of ZOS, we're making major enhancements around performance and price performance. One of the things that we did in version 12 was significantly improve vSAM performance for batch and online. With 13, we're shortening batch windows with substantial improvements around job control language in JES 2 environments. We're implementing simplified application programming models. We're improving the ability of the mainframe to give early warning from certain systems issues that could occur. And we're significantly improving the I/O performance for ZOS Unix workloads on parallel sysplex. And so, in effect, more performance, more system responsiveness, more capability for a broad variety of workloads. And we continue the process of enhancing the ZOS management facility in Release 13 to make it much, much easier to clone, define, maintain, and integrate the ZOS experience for operators. So an important tranche of new function coming later this year with ZOS Release 113. It continues the drumbeat of what we've done in Release 12, and it's important for you to understand it and be pointing to the strategic direction that we see being implemented starting with ZOS. Let's move to the next chart. I have discussed with many customers recently the need for an integrated application development environment that not only improves productivity and quality for development, but also begins to integrate with some of the back-end deployment and change management issues that customers are facing to give them a more end-to-end view of how to build, deploy, and run applications. We are enhancing the rational offering with a new enterprise modernization for developers prescriptive solution. This has a couple of key components that I would like to highlight. First, we continue to improve rational developer for System Z, and as part of that, we continue to plug in enhancements to the Z PDT or emulated environment for doing native Z development on the desktop in a way that's integrated with the entire rational portfolio. We enhance the ability to do unit testing, and most importantly, we've made major enhancements around Team Concert in the area of library integration. And what this means to customers is that they now have the ability to move to a single application development and promotion and deployment environment. In doing so, they can reduce the number of software footprints and software costs. They're seeing the ability to substantially reduce the heaviness and the cost of PCs and hardware on the application developer's desktop. They're seeing substantial increases in productivity. And I've seen some recent business value work that speaks to up to a 25% increase in productivity using the solution and a 12% increase in quality associated with the solution as customers get more control over their environment, They lose less code as they move it between different environments, and they speed up the overall integration with back-end deployment and with change and library management. So continued enhancement of the rational solution that is integrated between System Z and distributed, integrated between classic third-generation environments and modern EGL and WebSphere environments. If you move to the next chart, we have a number of specific new enhancements for WebSphere on Z with the Rational Automated Framework for WebSphere, or RAFW. This integration substantially improves the automation support for WebSphere Application Server, WebSphere Virtual Enterprise, the BPM Suite, and WebSphere Portal. It also increases productivity. It reduces costs for compliance, disaster recovery, and IT government. And it extensively automates the environment for build-out, configuration management, and application deployment tasks in order to deliver yet even more productivity, specifically around the mainframe WebSphere environment. And it has a number of virtual patterns to ease the implementation of new workloads, especially such things as the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance. Now, let's move to the next chart and talk a little bit about improved economics with System Z for WebSphere solutions. As we continue to see more and more customers move their Java applications to System Z, we continue to get feedback that we need to continue to improve the throughput as well as the pricing. Over the course of time, hopefully you know, we've seen dramatic improvements in performance. So WebSphere, from a Z10 to the Z196, has seen a 93% improvement in performance. In addition, we've just done a significant amount of optimization with CICS version 4.1 and the Z196 to significantly improve throughput for those workloads coming in over TCP/IP from remote distributed devices. And so Z10 to Z196, we've just announced a 73% throughput improvement for these kinds of distributed workloads that are coming in and touching back-end applications and data in CICS and System 3. We've over the course of time, we've announced a number of capabilities to improve the economics, getting starting prices, zip and zap, a solution addition, and now a new integrated workload pricing on System Z Enterprise for WebSphere. If you move to the next chart, let me describe this in a little bit of detail. And simply put, the way to think of this is that today, in a distributed environment, if customers want to run a Java or a WebSphere application, they pay for, obviously, WebSphere. They pay for DB2, the database. They pay for the operating system. But what they don't pay for are other existing transaction monitors that may be running on that distributed processor. They have the ability to isolate the economic and pricing impact of running mixed environments by dedicating a distributed environment to WebSphere. And over the course of time, customers have told us that they would like to have this type of isolated pricing capability on the IBM mainframe. And so we are announcing we'll be delivering shortly a highly automated SCRT-based environment that enables customers to put WebSphere in System Z LPAR, increase the LPAR as the WebSphere workload increases, but not increase the associated charges for CICS or IMS. A significant advantage to co-locate workload in existing logical partitions without incurring the collateral damage of accidentally having to increase the bill for CICS or IMS as the Java workload expands. I urge you to brush up on this. There's a lot of material that's in the process of coming out. The few customers that I've started to speak with on this topic, it just having been announced, are very, very excited about it. And this is clearly a way to add an item to your toolkit to sell new WebSphere workloads on System Z. And I encourage you to make this a key focal point in your sales efforts for 2011. Let's move to DB210. DB210 delivered late in the fourth quarter of 2010. I wanted to give you an update on how we are doing. I have given you some brand new quotes on this chart on DB210 that you can see. This complements some of the quotes that we had available at the time of the DB210 beta. So customers who are moving to DB2 are seeing substantial reductions in CPU per transaction, 5 to 10% for classic workloads, 20% or even higher on newer workloads such as XML and complex query. And so I encourage you to urge our customers to take a hard look at DB210. And, of course, if they're on DB2 version 8 today, they can skip to DB210 directly if they choose. And the other point that I would urge you to take a look at is time travel temporal. And here again, this is a very important new function that enables customers to get significant productivity in application development by letting the DB2 engine capture change data about customer master records rather than having applications and application developers do it as they have had to do since the 1960s. So clearly a customer can do the same with less with DB210. Clearly they can do much more for the same as we also implement a new function for them to exploit. And I've given you some quotes here both in terms of the improvements in savings as well as the improvement around a new function in DB2. If you move to the next chart on IMS, today IMS 11 has been very successful with our customers. It has open database. It has improved virtual storage utilization. There is a new offer to deliver IMS customers a free set of IMS mashup center environments for service-oriented architecture. And, of course, they continue to get dramatic scalability. And so we've seen a number of our customers move to IMS 11 quickly, and it's important that we continue to emphasize the benefits that they get with IMS 11. But you should also be aware that we have announced and are now delivering the IMS version 12 quality program, or QPP. As was the case with IMS, we are seeing substantial reduction in cost in terms of CPU per transaction, substantial reductions in support for networking support, faster deployment, and larger and more scalable database sizes. And so we continue the drumbeat of modernizing our middleware, making it more efficient from release to release, from version to version, and providing more capability for scalability and integration with other new workload environments. So please, for those of your customers that have IMS, urge them to build the business case to get to version 11 quickly and begin to consider the strategic implications that are now on the table with IMS version 12. If you move to the next chart, a number of our customers are now buying more and more value-added tools from IBM to better manage their heterogeneous environments. And recently, I've had a number of customers comment on the power of Guardium. We will be enhancing the Guardium portfolio in the first quarter of this year in order to not only extend data privacy and security, but also have a single tool for both IMS and DB2 with no changes to the application. Simply put, Guardium is hot. It's about to get harder. Make sure that you understand how Guardium works today. Understand how it will be working with these enhancements shortly. I've listed a website on this chart for you to access to get more information. And let's press the advantage of Guardium in conjunction with our new database technology in order to expand our transactional business and improve customer productivity on top of all of the new and exciting things that we're doing in the database middleware. If you move to the next chart, high-performance middleware and enhancements for Content Manager on Demand for ZOS. We're delivering substantial function that customers have been asking us for, particularly around print. Many organizations today still print report after report, and they find it difficult to transfer the information into an online format such that they can use it for multiple purposes. This new capability is being delivered in Content Manager on Demand for ZOS, announcing in the first quarter, in order to enable significant improvements around advanced function printing and PDF data and integrating it in what was once a hard copy print environment, now into a true online demand environment. So some substantial and long-awaited enhancements in Content Manager that you need to deliver to our customers. We've had many of them that have been clamoring for this. Moving ahead in the tool area, let me talk a little bit about something new and exciting from Tivoli. and that is advanced reporting and management for DFSM, SHSM environments. Many customers have told me that they need help in order to improve the performance and the productivity around managing their DFSM and HSM data sets. This new tool from Tivoli enables them to integrate and provide synergy for a full spectrum of Z storage management, specifically targeting the DFSM and HSM environments for reporting and productivity. So something new that you can bring to the table and help customers with what they're clearly telling me is an increasing pain point around managing larger and more complex storage environments and getting performance and productivity. So some new help from Tivoli in that regard. As you begin to think about how customers are using the mainframe, we are getting more and more new and interesting references, and I want to bring to your attention a new one that we will be publishing from a company called Trustmark. This customer had many legacy mainframe applications. They wanted to give their customers the ability to do internet banking as their competitors are moving toward. They couldn't spend time and money rewriting applications, and doing this might also cause issue with other programs. So with the use of the Rational Developer System Z, Message Broker, WebSphere MQ, and CICS Transaction Server, this customer was able to leverage their original investment and create a new modern internet banking service. They avoided the expense, the time, and the risk of recoding or rip and replacing, and they needed less training because they were able to work faster and be smart at an end-user level. The solution is implemented using a single GUI, which delivers all the customer data in one location to make it easily accessible. More and more customers are asking us how to modernize their existing environments rather than rewrite or rip and replace. We continue to offer more and more new capability. We continue to get more customers who are getting substantial benefit. And I want to call your attention to Trustmark as a new reference in this space that shows the power of Z and the power of enterprise modernization. Now, if you move to the next chart, I'd like to introduce the SystemZJobs.com board. We have had dramatic success around the world with our academic initiative. We are to the point where, in many cases, customers have jobs but don't know how to find skills, but we also have many skills that are out there around System Z that don't know how to find jobs. And so we've created a job posting capability through an independent third party that is now up and running and available. Simply put, it lets customers post their job recs to seek out skills, and it lets people put their skills and their resumes in place to advertise the fact that they're available and they need jobs. So this takes the academic initiative to an entirely different dimension, and we now offer a job clearing or a job posting mechanism that is independent through a third party and secure that enables an efficient job clearing mechanism. Please make sure that you get this to your customers. This is a very, very timely topic, and it demonstrates IBM's ongoing commitment around System Z and skills. If you move to the next chart, let me also talk to you now about some deliverables. And the most important first quarter deliverable is the System Z Technology Summit. I've listed the U.S. dates here. It will be rolling out around the world as we go through the first half of 2011. Fundamentally, this summit discusses how Z Enterprise can help customers make smarter decisions, reduce cost, reduce the burden of management and complexity, and it delivers IBM experts who can sit down with customers and examine the case for centralizing data in order to make more informed and intelligent solutions. The URL is on this page. Please make sure your customers know when they register, and watch this space as we continue to roll this out beyond North America and into the worldwide space. But it is a great way to get your customers up to date on what's going on with Z and help them address some of the fundamental issues that every customer in the world has around reducing cost and reducing complexity. Let me summarize at this point by saying that we continue the process of rolling out dramatic investments in software for System Z. The System Z software extends the value and provides for optimal cost savings and performance. We're delivering new hardware in the form of data power and software, as we've discussed, that will continue this in 2011. We continue to untangle the complexity and deliver simplification that allows consolidation to a Z, but also using the ZBX to heterogeneous environments. We allow customers to extend the value of the mainframe with new workloads. And we've highlighted this both in terms of new performance data in this presentation, as well as some of the new pricing with IWP. And we've developed an atmosphere where developers can optimize their time by developing once and extending it to the platform of their choice that makes sense, first and foremost, System Z. They can test wherever and whenever they wish and avoid using valuable MIPS to do so. And lastly, we have the integrated services management offerings that are ready to extend the enterprise beyond the classic Z system and to the entire data center. I hope that this has been a valuable and productive use of your time to get an update on the latest developments that will be coming on February 22nd. And at this point, I'd like to thank you very much for your attention, and I wish you high productivity in having conversations with your customers around System Z in 2011. And now let me make a couple of comments around some of the new innovative marketing materials to help you sell. As we all know, it's difficult to keep track of this fast-moving world and all of the new things that we are doing. And so we will continue to enhance our customer deliverables, our analyst reports, our industry briefings, and a number of our standard deliverables around our quick reference guide, at a glance, frequently asked questions, and sales kits. On this chart, I put the website for you to go to get all of the latest information on deliverables and communications. I urge that you use the website to stay current on System Z and understand all of the things that we are doing and we are up to. It's a great way to be productive. And let me close with a call to action. It's time to be bold and sell solutions. One of the things that we must do in 2011 is drive more new workloads on the mainframe. And I hope that you will agree that this set of announcements that we've discussed today gives you more capability and more competitiveness to do so. But now it's up to us. We need to be prepared to sell and be leaders in spreading the news. If we don't tell the customers, how will they ever know? It's up to us to take our leadership and our expertise and invite our clients to the Z Summit, to a number of our briefings that will be occurring around the world. It's up to us to understand their workloads and their application environments and engage in fit for purpose so that we can bring new heterogeneous computing and substantial cost benefits. Where there are questions around those cost benefits, please continue to increase your use of the Eagle team. We've seen a dramatic uptake and substantial success in 2010, and we need to continue to bring them to our customers in 2011 to prove the economics of running workload on Z. And, of course, stay connected through the ZForce community, which we're going to be continuing to enhance and grow in 2011. So with that, once again, I'd like to thank you for your time. Good luck, good selling. It's up to us to be leaders and to capitalize on all of this new technology and pricing to make our customers modern for the 21st century in 2011. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. And now we'll move on to our next speaker, John Chodletsky.
Hello, I'm John Chodletsky. I'm Vice President of Competitive Technology in IBM Software Group, and I've been asked to speak to you today about the economics of Z Enterprise. So let's get started and look at the first chart, Smarter Computing Economics. When we consider all of the workloads that our customers may have to run, they are a wide variety. There are message-driven workloads, transaction processing, web-facing, et cetera. And each of these workloads are driven by particular business models, and each in turn have particular technical requirements, technical challenges, if you will, that you must meet in order to run these workloads efficiently. So the first idea I'd like to introduce is to talk about a new metric, a metric that perhaps many people don't think about, and that metric is looking at the cost per workload, the new metric for the new smarter computing economics. So when we look at overall costs, many people focus on the cost of the hardware or the cost of the software, but I'm going to talk today about a different metric, reducing the overall cost per workload. cost of the hardware and software used to be relevant in the days when we had one workload running on a dedicated server. But that's no longer the case. We now have servers with tremendous processing capacity, and they often run many workloads simultaneously. So it's hard to allocate costs, harder to allocate true costs in a situation like this. And that's why we feel that it's essential to move to a metric where we focus on the cost per workload. And when we consider all of these different kinds of workloads, what we want to help our customers achieve is the lowest overall cost per workload, given the workloads that they need to run. Let's move to the next chart and talk about the role that Z Enterprise can play in this environment. Z Enterprise brings two unique things to the table. The first unique thing is the fact that Z Enterprise offers multiple architectural execution environments and therefore gives you a choice about where to run a particular workload. And this leads to a strategy we call fit for purpose. And you'll see in the diagram here we're showing the different environments that are available. But Z Enterprise also brings another unique idea to the table, and that is the ability to consistently manage these virtualized environments from one consistent structured management point of view. Now, I'm going to talk today about how fit for purpose can lower your cost of acquisition per workload, that's cost of the hardware and the software, and how consistent structured management can lower your cost of operation per workload. This is typically the cost of labor for administration. And in this way, because of these two unique capabilities, Z Enterprise is positioned to offer the best of both worlds to our customers to lower their overall cost per workload. So let's move to the next chart. I want to briefly mention the fit-for-purpose strategy. You see here that in the left-hand side of the picture, we have what you would consider the traditional System Z environment. That's the Z196. And in this environment with a hypervisor, you can run logical partitions that have ZOS or that have ZVM. And if you're running ZVM, you can run Linux images as guests in ZVM. So those are two environments that are available on Z196. Not all of the environments available, but two important ones. And then on the right-hand side of the picture, we have the ZBX racks that extend the Z196 to blades. And in these racks, in the ZBX racks, we may find Power 7 blades, AIX running on Power 7. We have a statement of direction that says we will have Linux running on IBM x86 blades. And we have optimizers, built-for-purpose optimizers, that are there to speed up specific workloads. And I'm going to talk about one of those today, one of the new ones today. The point about showing all of these different environments is that when you look at the workloads that were on the first chart, you might ask, well, where is the best place to run each of these workloads? And the first consideration is quality of service. For example, the scale and the reliability of running in a ZOS sysplex environment is superior and to anything else and can't be beat. So if that's an essential part of your requirements for the workload, then the ZOS environment is the place to be. On the other hand, there are some workloads where reliability and scale are not so great, and a more predominant concern becomes the cost. Where can I run this workload at the lowest cost? And when we talk about fit for purpose, we're talking about a strategy that balances both of these sets of requirements, the qualities of service that you need and the lowest cost place to run, given the qualities of service. Now, for many workloads, you can run those workloads in any of these Z Enterprise environments, and it stands to reason that one of them is going to cost less than the others, and that's all about, and that is the heart of the fit-for-purpose strategy. If we're looking to drive down cost, if we assign workloads to those environments where they will cost the least amount to run, we can achieve an overall lowest cost per workload. That's what we call our fit-for-purpose strategy. So, for example, on the next chart, we have a scenario, a case study, if you will, where we have 500 workloads, and they are characterized by being light workloads, 235 of them, heavy, that means light processing workloads, 25 heavy processing workloads, and 240 light processing workloads with heavy I/O requirements. An example of a workload like this might, for example, be a database server. And in this case study, we asked the question, what would it cost us to run these workloads all on distributed Intel servers that have been virtualized using VMware? And you can see on the top corner, the three-year cost of doing that is $29.46 million. This is the three-year cost that includes cost of acquisition plus labor. If you look at the bottom right-hand corner, you can see that if we apply a best-fit strategy to achieve the lowest cost per workload, we can run these 500 workloads at a cost of $17.35 million running on Z Enterprise. Now, in this case study, the best-fit strategy was to run the light processing workloads on the IBM X-Blades, x86 Intel Blades, to run the heavy processing workloads on the Power 7 blade, and the heavy I/O, light processing workloads with heavy I/O on the Z Linux environment. And in this, and in, so the fit-for-purpose strategy in this case can deliver these workloads at a cost 41% less than simply deploying all of them on virtualized Intel servers. Okay, so that was a brief introduction to fit-for-purpose and how it can lower the cost of acquisition for a workload. I want to illustrate one more view of the cost per workload, and I'd like to put a spotlight on a new thing that we are announcing, which is the DataPower double-wide blade known as the XI50Z. Specifically designed to plug into the ZBX racks and the chassis and the racks for use in a Z Enterprise environment. And this DataPower blade has a couple of different capabilities. There's a set of capabilities that you would characterize as enterprise service bus capabilities. There's another set that are firewall capabilities. And I'd like to drill down on the enterprise service bus capabilities for a moment. If we look at the next chart, we're looking at a benchmark that we conducted where we were using the DataPower XI50Z as a message processing hub in Z Enterprise. And the messages came in to the DataPower blade and they were processed using typical enterprise service bus mediations like routing based on content, transformation of format, and schema validations, and then the messages were sent on to their destination. And we found that the data power could deliver stunning price performance compared to some other options. In this case, we're comparing another option being running BizTalk server on a standalone Intel server. Many people think Microsoft software running on Intel servers is the lowest cost solution. It's sort of regarded as common wisdom. But I think you can see the stunning price performance improvement that the DataPower XI50Z can deliver, processing up to 10 times more messages per second at half the cost. And that works out to a 23 times price performance improvement over the Microsoft Intel solution. It's an example of what you can achieve when you design purpose-built appliances to do specific jobs. To put that in context, On the next chart, we see that it would take 11 BizTalk servers running on 11 Intel servers to achieve the same level of message processing capacity, but you can see that the cost is $4.1 million compared to $166,000 for the Data Power Blade. Another way of looking at this 23 times a difference in price performance. So that's another example of, so obviously if you had a message hub workload where you needed to process messages, in particular if you were an event-driven business, then the Data Power Blade in ZBX would be quite attractive and should be something that you would consider. Okay, so now I'd like to move on to the other unique feature of Z Enterprise, and that is its built-in integrated management capability. Now, on this chart, you can see one of our customers asking the question, I can see how fit for purpose can cut costs, but why do I need to buy ZBX racks? Why can't I just buy blade centers and hook them up myself and create a do-it-yourself solution to connect them to a Z196 mainframe environment? This is a question that we often get asked because there is a slight price premium on the cost for these ZBX racks. So I would like to address a comparison between a do-it-yourself approach and an approach where we rely on the integrated Z management capabilities built into Z Enterprise. So if we go to the next chart, we have these two approaches set up side by side. The do-it-yourself solution: go out and buy blade centers, buy blades, put the blades in the blade centers, hook up all the switches that you need to hook up, establish network connections to a Z196 environment, install all the software that you need on the blades, and there you go, you have a do-it-yourself solution that would enable you to do fit-for-purpose assignments of workloads. With Z Enterprise, it comes already put together with two built-in networks already there and pre-integrated, and along with some software that is referred to as Z Manager. Z Manager software enables you to manage all of the virtual machines in the highly virtualized Z Enterprise environment. And so I'd like to focus on those comparison points outlined in purple to look at the distributed management practices that you might find in a do-it-yourself environment versus the consistent and structured management you would get with a Z Manager, built in with Z Manager on Z Enterprise. So let's start by stepping back for a minute and taking a look at history. The cost of labor to operate IT services, the productivity of this labor has been improving over the past 8 years or so that we did this survey. But one thing that's remarkable to notice is that the labor productivity associated with managing processing capacity in a mainframe environment has undergone an 18 times improvement over this period from 2000 to 2008. We saw an improvement as well in the distributed environments, but the improvement in productivity was not nearly as great. It was a more modest improvement. And the lesson that we should take away from this, and we think, by the way, that improvement in the distributed environment was due to the uptake of what I would call small-scale consolidation using things like VMware to run a few virtual machines on Intel servers. We're beginning to see some benefits there in terms of that improvement. But why the big difference in improvement? And it's not because, I don't believe it's because, that there's something about the mainframe architecture that makes it easier to manage. I don't think that's it at all. It's not related to architecture. It's more related to consolidation and the structured management practices that you typically find around the mainframe environment. mainframes have been designed from the beginning to be able to handle large-scale consolidation where you bring lots of different workloads together and manage them in one place with consistent and structured practices. And we think that that is the real reason behind this dramatic difference in productivity improvement over this time period. So now we're going to take that lesson and apply it to the Z Enterprise environment. And then specifically, we're going to take a look at what Z Manager can do for the virtual environments that are supported, not only the ZOS, but the ZVM with Linux, as well as the AIX on Power, as well as the Linux on Intel, and as well as the purpose-built blades like the DataPower blade that we just talked about. So ZManager can manage all these virtual machines running in all the virtual machines running in these environments, and it does the following things for the user. In terms of asset management, it does automated discovery and management of the entitlements of the assets and the entitlements to use the assets. From a deployment management perspective, as soon as you slide a blade in a ZBX rack, it will detect that blade, and it will automatically go through all the steps required to install the hypervisor, the appropriate hypervisor. First, it'll check your entitlements, install the appropriate hypervisor for that blade, configure the hypervisor, and then configure the network connections to the internal networks within the enterprise. It provides, as well, centralized, fine-grained administrator access control for each of the virtual machines, so you get consistency there. It tracks dependencies for when I may want to make a change to a blade, what depends on the workloads that are running on that blade. And it also does capacity and performance management primarily by tracking end-to-end transaction performance as transactions span across the different virtual machines in a hybrid environment, as well as doing automatic CPU resource adjustments, giving more CPU resource to a virtual machine that is failing to meet its service level agreements. So these are the built-in integrated capabilities that ZManager provides for all of the virtual machines running in a Z Enterprise environment. Now, we need to put some metrics on this. What is all of that worth? We did some tests in the lab. We took a look at the deployment, this idea about installing the hypervisor. In the case of a power blade, you have to also create a BIOS partition so that you can virtualize the I/O devices on the blade and share them amongst the virtual machines. Install the BIOS and any fix packs. We compared the time it took to do that in a do-it-yourself environment where we took a blade, plugged it into a blade center, and then manually did all of these steps, and it took 1 hour, 48 minutes per blade. When we did it in a ZBX environment, it took, in terms of people time, 46 minutes and 10 seconds for each blade to do this. And the first number I described was the elapsed time. The second number was the labor time. So the elapsed, sometimes the person is just standing there while the machine is doing things or reading data off of DVDs. When we compare that to a ZManager environment, the elapsed time is 1 hour and 30 minutes. It's automated, done by ZManager, and the actual labor time that's required is 1 minute and 32 seconds. So if we compare the labor times, the times in blue, you can see that because ZManager is doing this for you, you get a 97% reduction in labor time. The other thing ZManager does is helps you configure the blade to connect it to the internal networking environment. Now, if you were building your own network, what we're comparing here is the elapsed time and the labor time to build a network to connect the 28 blades that you would find in two blade centers. And it comes to 26 hours and then to connect those to a mainframe environment. Whereas in ZManager, what we're comparing here is the elapsed time and labor time it would take you to connect those 28 blades to the Z196 environments using ZManager, and you can see the steps involved, and it's a reduction from 26 hours to 5 hours, 81% reduction in labor time. I want to point out one other lab test that we did, and that is looking at another feature of ZManager known as Performance Manager. And what this test is demonstrating, we have two workloads running here. You can see the one on the bottom, workload 1, and the one on the top, workload 2. And you can see that their performance is being tracked relative to the goal that's been established for the performance for each of these. And you can see that workload 1 is underperforming its goal, whereas workload 2 is overperforming its goal. Now, this may be the case, for example, if we made a mistake in setting the entitlements for processing resource in the hypervisor for these two virtual machines. And things would stay that way without the performance manager. At the point labeled point number 2, you can see that we turn on the performance manager. The performance manager begins to track the performance of these two workloads, these two virtual machines, relative to their service level agreements, and over time makes decisions that it needs to take resource away from the overperforming virtual machine and give more entitlement to the underperforming virtual machine. And you can see that by the end of a 15-minute period, it's given enough resource to the underperforming virtual machine so that it is now meeting its performance goal. Now, this looks very familiar. We've seen this kind of behavior in the past and with Workload Manager in System Z. And this notion has been now extended to the environments in the blades as well. Now, the key benefit of this is that it reduces the need to over-provision CPU resources. And to understand that, let's look at the next chart. On the left-hand side of this chart, we're looking at two workloads, the red one and the blue one, red workload 2 and workload 1. And they're both been allocated, they have an average utilization of 11%. And let's suppose in this scenario that workload 1 undergoes an unexpected 20% spike in average demand. All of a sudden, 20% more users have logged on, and there's been a 20% spike in demand. And when you look at the total CPU resource that is needed to handle these two workloads, you can see that the two are comfortably sharing a blade, using and effectively sharing, because of the hypervisor, 100% of the CPU resource while each workload is undergoing typical variations. But as soon as we get this unexpected increase in the average utilization, you can see that we would have to have more CPU resource, 110% of the blade capacity, in order to continue to handle both workloads. Now, it's hard to predict when you might have a sustained increase in average demand. And so many people, not being certain and not wanting to sacrifice service levels, would be inclined to over-provision. In other words, to provide more CPU resource than is statistically required in order to comfortably handle these two workloads when they're both running at their average utilization. On the right-hand side of the chart, we see that Performance Manager gives us another option. Instead of over-provisioning, Performance Manager lets us say that one workload has priority over another. And if you see an unexpected increase in the average demand in one workload, you have the option to take it away from a lower priority workload so that you can continue to handle both workloads in a statistical way for 100% of the blade capacity, so you don't have to over-provision the additional 10% in this scenario. So this is an example of how ZManager not only saves you labor because this is happening automatically, it also saves you from having to over-provision additional hardware and software licensing resource. So if we go to the next chart, we can put all of this together in a case study. In this case study, we had 92 workloads. And these were hybrid workloads because they involved running a component of the workload on a power blade and another component of the workload running in a ZOS environment. So for the web-facing workload, we had WebSphere running in a power blade, and it was connected to CICS running in a ZOS environment. We refer to these kind of workloads as hybrid workloads. And we had 72 of those workloads, and 20 workloads, which were SAP, data processing workloads, where the SAP applications were running in the power blades, but the SAP application database was running on DB2 for ZOS. So we had 20 workloads like that. So you can see that we need a connection. Every one of these workloads needs a connection to the mainframe. And we compared the do-it-yourself solution to the ZEnterprise solution. And the first thing you might notice is that there are more blades in provisioned in the do-it-yourself solution. And this is because, following the previous example, we wanted to over-provision by 10% to handle some unexpected increase in the average demand from any one of these workloads that might be sharing a blade. So we over-provisioned, in that case, 62 blades, 10% more blades, versus 56 that are required in the ZEnterprise environment. So that created a difference in the, if you compare the hardware cost, the blade cost of acquisition is now a little bit more than the ZBX cost of acquisition because there's more blades and another chassis and rack. Despite the fact that there is a small premium on the ZBS racks and there's a small premium for the cost of ZManager, it still turns out that the cost of the hardware in a do-it-yourself solution was more, but the dramatic changes in the labor, you can see here that the labor cost has been reduced by 28%, primarily because of the deployment and performance and performance management that I talked about, but there are some other benefits as well from the security management and so forth. The net of all this is that the labor costs go down by 28%, and if you look at the cost per workload, you can see that by using ZEnterprise, you can achieve 7% lower cost per workload than you can by following a do-it-yourself approach. So when people ask the question, what's the benefit, what value does ZBX and ZManager in ZEnterprise provide me? Here's your answer. You can get, you can reduce your labor requirements and drive down your cost per workload. If we go to the next chart, it just summarizes the reductions in labor from five categories, the five categories that we covered on a previous chart. Deployment management, capacity and performance management were the two big improvements, but there were other improvements in asset management, security management, and change management. Now, I want to stop here. So far I've talked about the fit-for-purpose strategy, and I've also talked about how you can get additional benefits from the integrated capabilities of ZManager in a ZEnterprise environment, gave some examples of both. I want to talk about further optimization of your IT environment. And to do that, I need to move beyond the realm of technology and dollars and cents and a little bit into the realm of cultural boundaries. Many of our customers have distributed environments as well as mainframe environments in their data centers. And it's not unusual to have different teams, distributed teams and mainframe teams, and it's not unusual for these teams to rarely interact with each other. They seem to exist in separate environments. There are cultural barriers. The terminology and the words they use are often different, and they don't understand each other's technical terms. And so there are these cultural barriers that many of our customers struggle with. And the existence of such cultural barriers inhibit Optimum IT. They preclude the best fit for purpose because it's not likely that someone would reach across that blue arrow to deploy a workload in the absolute lowest cost environment. It's more likely that the teams would stick with what they know. Separate teams produce separate solutions, so you often have redundancy and complexity that's necessary. And different skills required for those two environments inhibit the optimum use of human resource. So I'd like to talk about how Z Enterprise enables even further optimization by encouraging cultural integration. When a customer makes a strategic decision to say, I'm going to begin to consolidate my workloads onto a Z Enterprise environment to get the benefit of fit for purpose as well as the Z Manager, what that's going to do is it's going to drive a consolidation of teams in terms of working together off of the same platform. And we think that that will foster cultural integration, and in so doing, that the whole mindset about where's the best place to run things in Z Enterprise will foster further optimizations. And I'd like to just bring to light two of them. I'd like to talk about the opportunity to virtualize and consolidate storage, as well as the opportunity to consolidate development and test teams around a common tool set. So let's look at the next chart. We're going to take that same case study with 92 hybrid workloads and look at how storage might be allocated in those two environments. So on the left-hand side, with the do-it-yourself, if I have a distributed team that is deploying blade centers and using their knowledge, it would a typical solution they might come up with to deploy storage for these workloads would be a shared storage solution using something like an IBM DS5020. And you see here that the storage requirements for those 92 hybrid workloads can be satisfied with two of these storage units. On the right-hand side, when we move to a Z Enterprise environment, then new options become available to us. We change the way we think about things, and we realize that we could provide the same additional storage by incrementally adding drive sets to a DS8800, which we may already have in the mainframe environment, so we would incrementally add more capacity to it and make that storage available to the workloads running in the blades. On the left-hand side, it's likely that that would be a shared storage solution using SANS. On the right-hand side, that would be a virtualized storage solution. So that drives better productivity with your storage administrators. It also drives better utilization of the provisioned storage. So when we compare the cost of the storage hardware as well as the storage administration, you can see in this case that we worked out, it resulted in a further reduction of 42% in storage costs. And if we go to the next chart, we can apply the same thinking to our development teams. In a do-it-yourself environment, we may have development teams using different sets of tools, one set of tools, one team, and one set of tools for distributed environments, a different team with a different set of tools for the mainframe environments, rarely talking with each other. Now, as we move toward these hybrid applications, taking advantage of fit for purpose, we now need to realize we have a situation where we have to develop components that will be, for a given solution, it will have components running on blades and it will have components running on in the Z196 environment. So all of a sudden, our teams need to work and collaborate better together. And that's going to be difficult if they're working with separate tools, separate processes, dedicated test systems, where they've got standalone blades dedicated for the distributed team, standalone mainframe dedicated for the mainframe team, and so forth. And because they're working without strong collaboration. They can run into code quality issues, and it's difficult to cross-train these people to move from one tool set to another to get the maximum flexibility of the human resource. If we look on the right-hand side of this picture, we see that the Rational tools from IBM, Rational, Team Concert, and others, can unify all of these development teams on one common tool set. The hybrid components now will be developed, whether you're developing AIX components or developing ZOS components, they'll be developed by the same development process, the same process that imbues quality in the code development through structured testing, unit testing, system testing, and planned build with specified file versions included in those builds. So we're prone to fewer mistakes when we're all following this common process. And when it is time to do a test, we can quickly provision a virtualized environment in the Z Enterprise, use that resource to run our test, our Z of our hybrid application, and then return those resources back to the data center when we are finished. This as opposed to having standalone dedicated systems for doing testing. We're going to get improved code quality, and it's going to be easier to cross-train these team members. It now just becomes a case of which language editor are you using in order to write your particular code component. And through surveys of our customers, we've seen experiences of customers achieving up to 50% improvement in team productivity when they get all of their development teams running on a common Rational Team Concert platform, and up to 12% improvement in code quality. So to summarize, the points that I covered in this talk, here are the key things that I'd like you to remember. Cost per workload is the key metric for the new IT economics. Cost of hardware, cost of software is no longer relevant when these things can be used to run literally hundreds of workloads. Fit for purpose reduces the cost of acquisition per workload. Z Enterprise integrated management reduces the cost of labor per workload, and these two things together can give you the lowest cost per workload overall. But there are further optimizations enabled by the cultural integration that Z Enterprise can foster, and I would encourage you to think about consolidating, virtualizing and consolidating all of your storage requirements, as well as unifying your development teams. Thanks for your time, and I hope that you found this information useful.